Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Want to get no punch. Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks here with Roman Oben. What does that mean? Is Hump Day Wednesday here at the Giants facility, the day that you and I give me some love.
Boom.
Boom. There you go.
I like that. What is that?
Thank you. It's a little fur vest.
Fur. I like fur.
You like it?
Looks better on you than me, though.
I don't know about that. I could see you. I could totally see you, like,
I'm not a fur vest
walking
guy.
Into Lambeau Field in the frozen tundra with one of those big fur jackets on while you were playing.
Maybe in your day.
Tell me you did that.
I'd wear the vest with no shirt underneath and just walk around just rocked up.
You probably would.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dancing bear, rocked up. We see that often. Anyway, we welcome you in. It is Big Blue Kickoff Live, coming to you live from the Giants facility. As I said, Anita Marks, Roman Oben. Every Wednesday afternoon, we are the tag team with you for the next hour. So we welcome you to share your lunch with us. And we're talking Big Blue Giants as they get ready to take on the Dallas Cowboys. Sunday night football, Roman. Bright lights, prime time,
yeah.
MetLife Stadium, that's a good time.
Yeah, and I think, you know, obviously the team has lost their last five games. But this is a divisional game, Anita. This is a game where they can show that they're better than their record against a formidable foe in the Dallas Cowboys. And I love these divisional games because it kind of throws all the records out. And if the Giants were in the position they were 7-3 and the Cowboys were 3-7, I mean, they'd be saying the same thing. So I think there's mutual respect really on both sides of the ball in terms of what needs to be accomplished Sunday. I mean, championships start in the division, and that's Marty Schottenheimer used to say that all the time. But again, this is a game where in front of the lights, the Giants can really show, again, that they're better than their record. They can fix some of the things that have kind of plagued them the last few weeks. And or the Cowboys can show why they're one of the better teams. So they're on both sides. I think it's going to be a really competitive game.
Also, I mean, keep in mind, this is a division rival.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is a game where, you know, you got to feel, even though, unfortunately, as you said, the Giants have lost the last few, you know, they're out of the playoff race. We get all that. But, you know, in life, there's individual battles that I feel really can fulfill you if they're won. And
right.
And I think beating this Dallas Cowboys team, who's sitting at 7-3, them in Philadelphia in the race for the NFC East, I think it's going to come down to the wire between those two teams. And you saw how poorly Mark Sanchez played the Philadelphia Eagles against Green Bay. Dallas, I'm sure, feeling good coming off of a bye. Tony Romo, 2 weeks to get his back healthy.
Right.
They're probably feeling really good about themselves coming here to MetLife Stadium. And so the Giants can be spoilers. And I think that there's motivation in that. Don't you feel that?
Well, every day that you wake up in the NFL and every Sunday that you go out and play, your job is to try to put yourself and your team in the best position to win. So, you know, and a lot of people are saying, like, you're having the spoiler discussion now, right? If you play a good team, you can spoil their chances or take a win away from them.
Right.
But at the end of the day, as professional athletes, you're paid to do a job. And the Giants, I expect them to do the best they can to go out there and try to put themselves in a position to be victorious on Sunday night.
Again, this is a show for the fans. 201-939-4513 is the phone number you want to get in. Roman and myself are with you for the next hour. Again, 201-939-4513. I have my computer in front of me, and for the sole reason that I'm monitoring Twitter. So any questions or comments you want to send us, make sure, first of all, hopefully you're following Giants on Twitter. That's at Giants. Include that hashtag Giants chat. And that is how I will monitor all questions and comments. So please feel free to join us on the show. Also, Roman handing me his piece of information. This is the injury report list heading into today's practice. Giants players are actually practicing right now while we're broadcasting. Colin Jenkins, a calf, he will not go today. Matthias Kiwanuka with a knee. Justin Pugh with a quadricep, he will not go today. Dominic Rogers Cromartie with a back and hamstring. That's pretty disappointing because I'm really looking forward to this matchup against Dez Bryant. I hosted an event Dominic Rogers-Cromartie last night in the city at Del Frisco's.
Right.
It was to benefit St. Jude and a few other beneficiaries. And I kind of put Dominic Rogers-Cromartie on the spot. I was like, you got to be looking forward. You got to feel good stepping up, getting ready to take on Dez Bryant. Don't you feel that way? You know, you corners in the NFL, and I'm sure Dominic Rogers-Cromartie thinks of himself as a top-notch corner in the NFL, and you're going up against a top-notch wide receiver. I'm going to assume that Perry Fuel is going to make that kind of matchup happen, and I'm actually quite looking forward to it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, playing left tackle in the league for 12 years, I mean, you measured yourself against the best guys, whether it was Jason Taylor, Hugh Douglas, you know, Bruce Smith, or Javon Kearse, you know, back in those days when he was younger. You measure yourself against those guys, and I think Dominic Rogers-Cromartie, the fact that he's been on the injury report probably the last 7-8 weeks – but goes out there every Sunday and plays, shows his toughness, shows his resilience, shows that he's committed to winning. And I am looking forward to him going against Dez Bryant, who's, I think, he's 56 catches, 790 yards, whatever his numbers are right now. I mean, he's really having a stellar season.
And it's pretty impressive, the numbers he's having, considering they're able to run the ball so much. And let's face it, this season, DeMarco Murray is the straw that definitely stirs that Cowboys offensive drink. Funny, I kind of put him on the spot. I said, listen, I own Dez Bryant in 2 of my 7 fantasy football leagues. You got to help me out this week, man. No touchdowns. Keep him out of the end zone.
Yeah.
And no more than at least 50 yards, 60 at most. And when Let's talk about DraftKings since we're throwing out fantasy football. Listeners are winning cash every week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site, where it's like a new season every time you play. Hurry, get free entry into the $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend. Did you play last weekend? I told you I really wanted you to play.
I know. You got to, like, hold my hand and, like, lead me to
You know what I don't understand? You've got 2 boys. I mean, kids these days are crazy about fantasy football. Yeah, are your boys not playing fantasy
football? Older son does a free one, like I think it's, I don't know, whatever.
Well, I would hope most kids are doing free ones.
Yeah, and well, I mean, it's called a free one because I'm not going to pay for anything else.
I refuse to. Really, are parents out there forking out a lot of dough for their kids to play in fantasy football?
I don't know, and I appreciate fantasy football.
Wow.
And I get it, and
I should call my mom.
I respect
my mom
it.
Could fork out some money for my fantasy football league.
But I
anyway, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but. I think sometimes it takes away from the rooting for the team aspect. So as a kid, like, look, play fantasy, have your team mapped out, and I support all that. But also, you know, root for your team to win at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do both.
It's kind of hard. No, it's kind of hard to do that if you play fantasy. It's kind of hard to do that.
There's a fan that deep down inside roots for the team that he grew up watching.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I support that.
And that's why a lot of times it's difficult. It's difficult for people to play fantasy football if you're a fanatic, if you're a real big fan of
right.
a team. Anyway, head to DraftKings.com now to enter Blue to play for free. DraftKings.com, bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires, and enter Blue again for a free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. So back to the injury report. Jeff Schwartz dealing with his toe, but you got to like what he said. Let's talk about the offensive line. Why not? Former offensive lineman right here might be a good topic for you. But Jeff Schwartz dealing with the toe comes off of IR, and you got to like what he said. I'm ready to go. You got to like that. And you know, with Pugh dealing with his quadricep issue, no better time than Jeff Schwartz to come back than right now.
Yeah, and at 6'5", 340 pounds, whatever Jeff Schwartz officially is on the scale, he's a guy that I think right now is just desperately needed. You know, this time last year, you know, the Giants had lost collectively, I think, 80 or so games due to injury. I think this year the numbers are about the same at this point of the season. But a guy like Jeff Schwartz, I mean, really the most highly sought after interior offensive lineman coming out of free agency, you know, signed a big deal, came here, and I know that he's been disappointed in terms of him not being able to go out there and help the football team win. But, you know, seeing him in practice, seeing him do one-on-ones and taking on spin moves and bull rushes and really putting that toe and that foot to the test is going to be something that's going to help him go out there on Sunday. And, again, Anita, you know this. It's not like a receiver where you can sprinkle him in a few snaps and maybe catch a ball, run out of bounds. I mean, when you put your hand on the ground, you're ready to go. You're live. So that's it. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what Jeff Schwartz can do. And also talk about Jaquan Williams.
Again, Jaquan Williams as well on the injury report list. Concussion, still not feeling 100%.
Yeah, I think that he's going to have to be cleared so he can do a little bit more this week. And then it could be maybe a five-day possibly return to do something on Sunday. And then Colin Jenkins has been nursing that calf for a couple weeks now.
I'm sure that there's a very slim percentage of people out there who've ever dealt with a concussion, and God bless you, because I have, and it's not fun. I mean, it's to the point. I'm sure you've had.
I was there. Was that last year?
Have you had concussions before?
I've had stingers. I've never had any concussions.
Never had a
but
concussion.
Just more stingers.
But man, I mean, it's to the point where like. I have three dogs. I have to keep a list of how often I walk my dogs and what did they do when I walk them. I have to keep my keys in a certain spot. You have to log everything down. I mean, lights hurt you. It's tough to sleep, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Memory loss. You're in a fog. You're in a daze. You don't remember things. It's tough. And to be kind of in that element and then try to play football at the level that we've seen Jaquan Williams play football this season,
yeah.
It's tough. It's tough. So my heart goes out to him. Hopefully he get back on the football field soon, because I'm telling you, I like what I've seen from Jaquan Williams this season so far.
Yeah, I mean, in his fourth year, he's finally began to put it all together. He had a lot more promise and upside than productivity early in his career. I think now you're starting to see him look like a true outside linebacker that I think a Jesse Armstead would be proud of.
All right, let's continue to do the show and bring in some callers. Again, 201-939-4513 is the phone number. Anita Marks, Roman Oben, also monitoring Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. I'll share those comments and questions on the show. Also, feel free to follow Roman and I on Twitter. I'm Anita Marks. Roman is r_Oben. All right, let's kick it off in line one. We have Christian calling in from North Carolina. Christian, welcome to the program.
Hey, how's it going?
All right, how
good.
Are you? Thanks for watching us out in North Carolina.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm actually from New York, so I'm only here for a little while. So,
okay.
But I just wanted to say, if Coughlin did lose his job, it's because of injury. I mean, people are saying he's not doing a good job this year, but they're not considering how many important players have been gone for so long of the season.
Thank you very much for your phone call. I mean, just to mention a few here on defense, Roman, Colin Jenkins, John Beeson, who, by the way, I'm such a big fan of John Beeson. So disappointed. I feel that he was such a big key this season to that Dolphin to that defense. As I just said, Jaquan Williams and then Prince Amukamura, I think, was a huge loss.
Yeah.
On the secondary. I mean, think about it. Going into the season, we talked about how this secondary very well could be a top five, top three secondary in the NFL with
yeah.
all the talent and the depth that it had. It's just unfortunate. Listen, but
yeah.
it is football, and injuries happen.
I mean, look at Tremaine McBride. He was brought in on a one-year, I mean, to really solidify that slot position so you could do more. So Antrell Roll can go back to center field. Stevie Brown was supposed to be back kind of in the box as an in-the-box safety. You know, Demps has had to play a little bit more. So it's affected everything. We're just talking about defense now. We haven't even mentioned, you know, Victor Cruz on the offensive side of the ball. We talked about Schwartz earlier that's missed a lot of games. Rashad Jennings missed four games. You've had some guys, even Gerald Jernigan was injured in terms of a slot guy or a backup. I mean, there's – and sometimes you can look at it one or two ways. When you lose your starters – the next guy has to step up, and naturally there are guys that take that place. But sometimes when you use your backups, your third corner, your slot corner, your third, fourth receiver, that affects you in terms of special teams. That affects you in other ways. And now you're thrusting certain people into a position that they have to hurry up and mature a lot quickly than the team would have liked that season.
Listen, I'm going to throw a name out here that I don't think really gets mentioned enough, and that's David Wilson.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and hey, by the way, I'm hearing great things about him and him trying to make the Olympic team. How great, what a great story that would be.
Yeah, I think he's a triple jumper. He was a nationally ranked triple jumper.
I did triple jump in high school.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
It was like it was like my favorite event.
It'll beat you up though, man. You ever see an old triple jumper? I mean, their back, their knees.
And I think Giants fans would love to hear this, and that is David Wilson still has a locker here. At the Giants facility.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So that is really awesome. He comes in, he visits with the guys, he's still around the organization, and our hearts go out to him, and I might get a little emotional here. I just think it would be such a phenomenal story if he represents the United States in the Olympics. But again, that is a guy that really we don't talk a lot about because He hasn't been here all season.
Yeah.
But imagine this backfield with Rashad Jennings, David Wilson, and Andre Williams.
Right.
That was the game plan.
Right. And then in terms of what the model of running backs are in this league, I mean, you would have liked to see that, you know, Darren Sproles, Reggie Bush element added to this offense that was already, from the beginning, tough, physical, big backs. I think when David Wilson left, had to retire because of his neck injury, it kind of, by default, made this offensive backfield like one-dimensional. Not in a bad way, but in terms of all the backs were big, physical, tough tackle-to-tackle runners. You didn't have that running back that could, you know, beat safeties and corners on wheel routes, so to speak.
Again, 201-939-4513. Let's continue with our calls. We go to Lynn calling in from Maryland. Lynn, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Okay, excellent. How are you?
Good. Back when I competed in the triple jump, it wasn't even called a triple jump. It was called a hop, step, and jump. Do you guys remember that?
No, Lynn. I think you're showing your age. I think you're showing your age.
I'm showing my age.
Yeah.
But check it out. That used to be the name of that event. Want to talk a little bit about Eli's performance on Sunday night. Listen, it's 5 interceptions. Can't get away from it. So this call is not about getting the NFL to change the 5 interceptions to 3 interceptions because of tips or anything like that, wrong patterns being run and so forth. Just an observation. I have watched this game a second time, one of the few this year that I could stomach watching a second time. Borland, the linebacker on the Niners, called it happy feet. Some of the writers, beat writers, refer to it as skittishness on Eli's part. I don't know. Maybe I want to kind of clean that up a little bit. My observation, Anita, you played quarterback, so tell me if I'm right or wrong on this. My observation of what was going on there, he could never quite find the pocket. You know, it would be nice if these guys just had to drop back, 3 steps, find the dime, put a foot on the dime, 5 steps, put a foot on the dime, 7 steps, put a foot on the dime, but. And it's not even the fact that he doesn't move very well. He just looked like there was so much going on around him that he never could find a lane to throw a ball through, get his feet in the right place. It just looked like I'm not absolving him of anything. He had 5 interceptions, right? But it just looked like he had trouble finding the pocket. Do you have any comment on that?
Yeah, Lynn, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it.
Well, in terms of finding the pocket, you know, I'd probably change that terminology. The pocket is supposed to be set so that the quarterback can set his feet, find the receivers, find the progression, get rid of the ball quickly.
Step up if it collapses.
Step up, yeah, exactly. I mean, the center and 2 guards are supposed to control the depth of the pocket so no one's in the quarterback's lap. And the tackles are supposed to control the width of the pocket, keeping the ends wide so that the pocket doesn't collapse from the outside. And so when Charles Brown came in and Tom Coughlin said this, that he did not play well at right tackle, replacing Justin Pugh. So there were some breakdowns. And I don't want to quantify it, but I think two of the 5 interceptions were poorly thrown passes, and Eli Manning took full accountability of that. But I think there were 3 and even some other passes that weren't intercepted that were a direct result of the pocket collapsing and Eli Manning not being comfortable in the pocket when Justin Pugh got injured and you had to put Charles Brown in there at right tackle.
I mean, a few things here. Number one, there are a few quarterbacks in the NFL that are comfortable in the pocket when it's collapsing.
Yeah.
You know, there are quite a few. There are quite a few quarterbacks in the NFL that have this uncanny pocket awareness and pocket presence. Kind of reminds me, I covered the Miami Dolphins for 10 years, and that's when Dan Marino was there. And really, I think one of the most really fantastic things about Dan Marino is that he kind of had this uncanny pocket awareness ability, and he would just take one step and he'd make 3 guys miss. It wasn't even an athletic move. It was a hop. It was
right.
A skip. It was a jump. But there's only a few guys in the NFL that I think really have that ability. Eli Manning, to me, is one of those quarterbacks that needs some protection. And unfortunately, he's not getting it. He definitely didn't get it last week. And I'm not looking at these 5 interceptions and putting them all on Eli Manning. Listen, we're not privy to what routes are supposed to be run by the wide receivers. We don't know how many of these were wrong routes. And the class act that Eli Manning is, he's not going to come out and he's not going to tell you what it is either. He's not going to do an RG3. Okay, he's not going to throw his players under his teammates under a bus. It's just not the way that Eli Manning operates. So And that's one of the most charming things about him. It's all about him. He'll take the blame, even when realistically we don't even know really if it's his fault. So, you know, we don't know the storyline between each and every interception that happened on Sunday. And we'll never know. But there are a number of reasons, I think, why there were five interceptions thrown in the game. Pressure, wrong route running, tip balls.
Breakdowns and communication downfield versus what he thought where the receiver is supposed to be. Versus where he was when the ball was released.
Yeah, so I'm not putting all five of these on Eli Manning. But it's unfortunate because he only had six interceptions in nine games. And then to have five in this one, I mean, because what was the big goal, right, coming into this season with that, when Ben McAdoo was Eli Manning 70% completion percentage,
yeah.
Right? And limit the interceptions because the previous year was 27. So and the percentage, the completion percentage was up there. So, and it was something that we kind of all laughed at, right? What is that a realistic expectation? Well, sure enough, yeah for the season it was. Because that's the way that this offense operates, which is bode well for this team in regards to the lack of turnovers on Eli Manning's part.
Right.
So it is very fortunate that was six prior to this game and then five in this game. I think that's really unfortunate.
Yeah, you're right.
All right, let's continue with our calls. Again, 201-939-4513. Let's go to Steve calling in from D.C. Steve, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'll be brief. I just want to say that, you know, I watched Eli's interview, and he clearly, he was asked, was it any about a matter of route running? And I didn't see any routes, so it was, you know, he was clear. It wasn't anybody running a bad route. It was a couple pressures he kind of alluded to, but clearly not a bad route. But anyway, I'm not going to make excuses. Five interceptions is five interceptions, and it's still unexcusable. So, but with that being said, I wanted to know who. First of all, I'm kind of glad to hear we're going to be kicking Justin Pugh inside the guard because I believe that's where his strength is. But I want to know where you guys see Jeff Schwartz playing at on the line. And that's really all I have. I'll listen to
that's a great question.
I want to say this. You're the only person I know who thinks Jaquan Williams had a good year. I don't want to see him gone, Percy, but thanks for taking my call.
That's all right. Considering the years that he's had in the past, I think this is his best year he's had yet.
Yeah.
And he hasn't been healthy. So I will commend Jaquan Williams and the fact that, you know, he won that starting job as well. But I'll let you comment on
Jeff Schwartz.
Yeah.
I think, you know, he was a natural right guard in Kansas City, and I think he was slated to play left when the season started. And I don't have, like you talk about being privy to some of the information, I don't have the grades in terms of what Coach Flaherty has done and where he's been working. I mean, he's been doing a lot of left guard, I think. But
Jeff can play both sides, though, right?
He can play both guards, yeah. So and sometimes it comes back to, is it who's playing poorly, which guard is playing the worst, which is – sometimes could be unfair to the guard, you know, the guys that have been in there, or saying, okay, this is a natural position. This is where we're going to see him best, or maybe someone's going to have to be benched or someone have to get replaced when he comes back in there. So, and that's a coaching decision. And I think the coaches will make the best decision according to where they see that Jeff Schwartz helps his team win right now. I mean, there's only six games left at this point. So, you know, this is a 5-6 week decision. This isn't a January decision. This team, you know, mathematically, it's probably out of the playoffs, but this is the decision. How can Jeff Schwartz finish strong his last six games, the only six games he'll play, if he does play and start, you know, the whole game? And then how does that project for 2015? So that's the severity of the decision that has to be made about where Jeff Schwartz plays when he comes back.
If you were the offensive line coach, okay, what would be your five? What would be your...
I know you put me on the spot here.
I'm sorry. You want to think about it?
No, I could tell you right now.
Okay.
I would put if Pugh's healthy at right tackle, I'd put Schwartz at right guard. I'd put Schwartz at right guard and then keep the left guard and center the same.
Okay. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Ernest from Virginia. Ernest, welcome to the program. You're on with Anita Marks and Roman Oben.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my call today.
Thank you for joining us.
I want to make a statement, but then I'm going to make a short statement, but then I want to ask a question. I think Reese should go, because I think he made a mistake when he let Will Hill go. I mean, they had went with him, you know, so far. I mean, they were stuck with him for the time that they did, and I thought it was a waste to give up after they had already invested so much in him and just let him go. He was a bona fide safety. I think that would have helped that defense a lot.
Well, let me ask you a question. What is Will Hill doing right now in Baltimore? What kind of season is he having? He's not having a great season. I don't know. I mean, so
no, and that Ravens secondary is a mess right now.
Yeah,
they just lost Jimmy Smith as well, and you've got a lot of teams that are racking up a lot of yardage and a lot of points against their secondary. You can't run on the Baltimore Ravens, but you could pass.
Is he still on? I think if I'm Will Hill, I owe the Giants a huge thank you for trusting him and giving him a second chance, a third chance, keep him in the league, but. I don't think Will Hill's a solution right now to the secondary. But your next statement, go ahead.
Okay, and then I want to ask a question. Do you think that the Giants will probably trade Eli Manning for a couple of picks because of he's always been interception prone from his rookie year until now. He's always had that problem. You know, with the happy feet and everything else, and they want to change the mechanics and all these different things throughout his career. So do you think since he's reached his plateau, don't you think that it's time for them to now start, getting that young quarterback in there and starting letting him play some? And do you think that Reese and Tom Coughlin will be back next year?
Ernest, right, thanks for your phone call.
Thanks, Ernest.
First and foremost, be careful what you wish for, people. There are 32 starting quarterbacks in the NFL, and Eli Manning is one of the best. So be careful what you wish for. If you're thinking of this organization trading Eli Manning and bringing in, let's say, a Jameis Winston or a Marcus Mariota, it's going to take a few years for them to even try to get as close to the caliber of quarterback that Eli Manning is. And it's tough.
Yeah, and I think I have no reason to believe that the Giants would ever trade Eli Manning at the end of the season. And I know sometimes some fans have a little more just surface knowledge of the game, and some have a little more deeper intimate because they read a lot of different publications. But that couldn't be further from the truth. That Eli Manning's going to be here for the next 5 years or so. I don't know his contract, but again, look, fans have their right to voice their opinions about what they want. But if it's an agreement question, I disagree with that at all. So should be no truth in that statement.
I mean, just take a look around the NFL and look at the teams that are doing well, Roman. There are teams that have franchise quarterbacks that have taken teams to the playoffs. That have won Super Bowls.
Yeah, even the consistency of the position. Look, Phil Rivers, I played for San Diego. He hasn't won a Super Bowl at all. Obviously, hasn't taken his team, but consistently, he's one of the better quarterbacks in the league. Tony Romo's one of the better quarterbacks in the league in terms of their consistency. Because if you can have that question solved for the next decade and a half, the quarterback position, that gives you a chance to win. And there are a lot of teams that haven't had that question solved at the quarterback position. So again, I think we have another caller.
We're getting you on the line. 201-939-4513. But you look around the league and look at some of the bottom teams that are struggling. Listen, Derek Carr came out is one of the top premier kind of prospect quarterbacks, right?
Right.
And Oakland hasn't won a game yet. I mean, it's gonna take some time for that young man, of course, to mature, develop, and win some football games for Oakland.
Yeah.
So it's not like going out there and drafting a new young quarterback is the fix here.
Yeah.
Again, 201-939-4513. Let's go to Derek from Atlanta. Derek, welcome to the show.
Hey guys, how's it? Roman in India.
Excellent.
I had a question about whether you the Giants, like most corporations have plans, and I don't see the Giants bringing in the OC last year, and then if things don't work out with Coughlin, they move on to a different coaching that they just replace and trash this whole system and go into, you know, another system, whoever coach come in. Do you see maybe there could be a plan to make the McAdoo head coach if they move on from Tomlin, Coughlin?
Derek, thanks for the phone call.
Again, that's an ownership decision that they'll make at the end of the season, and I don't think, just in my opinion as a former player, I don't think you bring an offensive coordinator as a first-time play caller to be the head coach the next season. No one wants to be a lame duck coach. No one's practiced. No one does any side conversations about, you know, what if the team, then you'll be promoted. I don't think that's the way the Giants do their business, how they run the organization. So, and you've heard that a lot from fans. I listen to a lot of talk radio around New York and you, all these what if scenarios. Tom Coughlin's the head coach. He said on this press conference show this morning that his number one job today being Wednesday. Wednesday's the beginning of the week in the NFL in terms of week preparation. His job is to help the team win on Sunday and put them in the best position possible. And I think that's what we're focused on right now. You know, not, you know, the what if scenarios about what could potentially happen at the start of the new year. So that's what we would like to continue to discuss. And there's some. This is a game the Giants can win, and I know that we you know, you say this every week. I mean, every week everyone has a chance to win, but the 49ers game unfortunately got away from them. That's a game that was close, and this is a game, again, in the division that they know each other well. They'll both be up for the game. It's national TV on the lights, and this is the Giants' last, you know, national televised game of the season where they can prove that they've, you know, can they fix some of the issues that they've had that's led to the seven losses?
And again, in looking at this matchup against the Dallas Cowboys, you know, they don't have a lot of sacks so far this season.
No, they don't.
So how is that going to – I'm sure that would bode well for Eli Manning heading into this game, right?
Yeah, I mean, Henry Melton is the only guy on their team, their defensive line. I think he's got five sacks this year. You know, Rod Marinelli, who, you know, in the absence of DeMarcus Ware, he's done, I think, an admirable job. He was my D-line coach in Tampa, actually my neighbor when I played in Tampa. He's done an admirable job of, like, creating players out of guys that are just unlikely heroes. And so they create pressure. They just don't have that 12, 15-sack, double-digit guy. They just don't have that guy in the Dallas Cowboys. So maybe you can. If the pass protection is solid, you can hold those guys. You can throw some of those deep balls. You can maybe take advantage of that pass rush because they are an athletic group. Maybe we see some screens this week. You know, Rashad Jennings is coming back. Again, his second game back from the injury. You know, obviously Coach Coughlin said he was working his way through health last week in the game. This week, I think you see a little more of an explosive Rashad Jennings. So I'm optimistic to see what the Giants do offensively against this Dallas team. And I mind you, Anita, this Dallas Cowboys team earlier in the season were playing so well because they were on the field 25 minutes a game. You know, now DeMarco Murray's not running the ball as much. He went from 30 carries a game the first half of the season. Now he's at about 24 carries, 22 carries a game. Time of possession is starting to get closer to 30 minutes, not 36 minutes when they their first 5 or 6 weeks. So you're seeing a little more of a human Dallas team, if you will, this stretch of the season where the defenses get tougher. Your division's played you twice. You know, everyone kind of knows what you're going to do. I think they're going to be throwing the ball a little bit more. This defense, which will put defense back on the field, and then you'll see, maybe you will see the defense that everyone thought the Dallas defense was going to be. When they're on the field longer, they could get exposed.
Well, two questions based on what you just said. First and foremost, with Rashad Jennings, really a lot of excitement, the fact that he came back last week.
Right.
What did you see? Give me some positives, maybe some negatives that you saw last week that, and also you want to see him improve on heading into this Dallas game.
Well, one thing I always liked about Rashad Jennings is that his vision on the field. I mean, he's a bigger guy. He's 230 pounds, like 6'3", 6'4". He's a great zone runner. He's patient, and that's something you didn't see as much from Andre Williams, who's a rookie, which is fine. He's still developing. But I think once he gets that explosion back, then he can get to and through the line of scrimmage but without contact. Then you'll start seeing those 8-9 yard runs, those 15-yard runs like we saw in that Houston Texans game and the Atlanta game before he got injured. So, I mean, that's what I'm looking forward to. And in terms of weaknesses, I mean, when this guy was healthy, you know, he was the guy. I mean, he was going to be the guy this year. All the screens that hadn't worked in the past, you know, just having a healthy back in there is what you appreciate about Rashad Jennings. So I'm looking forward to seeing him play better than last week. Last week, again, he wasn't as explosive. He's been out. This week, I expect to see more of an explosive Rashad Jennings.
What about Andre Williams? Were you surprised the lack of touches that Andre Williams got? Did you assume that that kind of was going to be the split going in? We were told 60-40. Do you think that's going to be the same case coming in against Dallas, or do you think it'll be more 80-20 Rashad Jennings now that he's got one game under his belt?
Well, I think coaches always have an idea, and it's not always perfectly etched in stone. Coaches always have an idea about what they want, what they see in terms of carries. Like, imagine you go back to preseason. Well, the first group will play 20 snaps, but a 10-yard drive or 11-yard play drive can be 35 snaps. Now you play them a little bit more, or a bunch of three and outs, you have to be in the field a lot longer to get to those 20 snaps. So you can have this 60-40, 80-20 in your head, but circumstantially, that determines the reps that backs get. So if the Giants are running the ball, they're running the ball well, and Rashard Jennings is hot, you got to keep feeding him. If you get a lot of second and shorts, second and longs, and then you might see Andre Williams sprinkled in a little bit more than you would have. I would like to see the scenario where Jennings is having a great first half, and now you're putting Andre Williams a little bit more in the second half as some of those knockout runs where he's running downfield, downhill runner, taking some DBs and safeties and linebackers with him.
Again, 201-939-4513 is the phone number you want. Again, get in. We're talking Big Blue Kickoff Live here with you for another 25 minutes, myself and Robin Oben. Giants players are practicing right now as we're hosting the show live from the Giants facility. After the practice, they will be made available to the media. We'll have a ton of interviews for you that you can log on to Giants.com and, of course, tune in, watch, and check out their anticipation for the Sunday night football game against the Dallas Cowboys. And with that being said, my other question to you was in regard to DeMarco Murray, and that is, you know, you've got a Dallas Cowboys team who's coming off of a bye. So immediately we start off the show, I said, you know, well, it kind of benefits Tony Romo, who's been dealing with a back issue. Of course, they were across the pond. They played their last game was against the Jacksonville Jaguars in London. And Tony Romo surprised me. I wasn't expecting Tony Romo to have that good of a game, especially since he was coming off that he's got, two fractures in his back.
Right.
But now he's had 2 weeks to rest. And same with DeMarco Murray. For a guy that was getting a ton of touches at the start of the season, and there was a lot of talk, like what, he had had 30 more touches, more than any other running back in the NFL, and there was talk out of Dallas that they were going to slow him down and not feed him the ball so much, and we were going to get some Joseph Randall in the mix. And that really didn't happen, maybe to the extent that a lot of people anticipated. But having these, you know, the 2 weeks off, what do you think Giants fans or Giants players can expect from Romo and Murray this week?
Well, more with Tony Romo, first of all, you talked about his back being healthy. 2 weeks, you know, with that long London flight where your joints swell up, 2 weeks off that back, he is going to be a lot healthier. So if I'm JPP, Kiwanuka, DeMontre Moore, you've got to look for that play where you think you have him sacked and he spins out of it. I mean, Romo has made a history out of those type of plays. So you've got to, if you get back there, you beat the offensive lineman, you've got to tackle Tony Romo. And I would say tackle him low within the rules, obviously, because if you tackle him high, he can spin out of that. He's a lot stronger of a guy than people think, just by looking at his frame. He's a really strong quarterback. I mean, he's like weight room strong. Obviously, he's been nurturing his back. But with Tony Romo, you know, now him being healthy, you know, being able to create plays outside the pocket, he's very dangerous in that regard. And with DeMarco Murray, again, another one with the 2 weeks rest now, where his body was the first, you know, 10, 11 weeks of the season, you know, now going to that final stretch, he's probably looking for being a little more explosive like he was the first couple of games that he had this year when he had a couple of 100-yard games back-to-back. I still think the Dallas Cowboys are going to monitor his carries. I don't think they'll go back to 30-carry-a-game formula. But, again, I think what we'll see this week and down the stretch for the Cowboys is really the totality of what they use offensively. And don't forget, Scott Linehan, who was a head coach with the Rams, he was at Detroit. I mean, he was at Louisville, I think, at one point in his career. He's used to airing it out. So he's kind of been just not so much handcuffed, but he's kind of scaled back from what he's used to being able to do. And when you have a receiver like Dez Bryant, you have Jason Witten, who's arguably the best active tight end in the game right now. And, Gonzalez obviously retired last year. I think you're going to see the whole offense, and then the Dallas Cowboys are going to be running the ball in spurts, just trying to use those high effective runs. So you might even see throwing the ball to set up the run with DeMarco Murray so that he can still be fresh when he does get those carries.
Again, phone lines are open, 201-939-4513 if you want to try to get in. We're here to take your calls. Of course, talk all things Big Blue as they get ready to take on the Dallas Cowboys. Well, what about Terrence Williams? This is a guy that I think really all season has been – wide receiver. Has been sneaky good because DeMarco Murray's been getting all the attention. Dez Bryant's been getting all the attention. As I said a little bit earlier, I know that Dominic Rogers-Cromartie is on the injury list for, back and hamstring.
Right.
I do anticipate him to play. I do anticipate that matchup to be Dez Bryant and DRC. So how do you see the rest of the secondary taking care of Terrence Williams? Because, as I said, I think he's a lot better wide receiver than what most people realize.
Well, you've got Zach Bowman on the other side. You've got this new, I can't remember his name, the new slot corner. The Giants just signed last week, number 49. I cannot remember the name. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Again, I think Zach Bowman, that's going to be a challenge for him because just when – I mean, I think DRC is going to be fighting his tail off against Dez Bryant. You got the linebackers and safeties paying attention to Jason Witten. You know, that backside guy, that turns – I mean, he gets a lot of those catches where you forget about the other two and you set up the – you draw safeties over the top with Dez Bryant and Jason Witten, and then you come backside to Terrence Williams. So I think Zach Bowman's got his work cut out for him, and he knows that too. Zach Bowman's done a great job this year. He's a veteran. He's actually good at playing the ball. He's got a few picks so far this year. So I'm looking forward to seeing that matchup as well, as you alluded to.
What about Jason Witten? Last time Jason Witten played the Giants, week 7, I want to believe, really didn't do much. I want to say 2 targets, 2 catches, not very many yards, didn't get in the end zone. But typically in years past, he has had quite some good
Remember the 18-catch performance?
But your thoughts on Jason Witten?
Look, Jason Witten, and again, I go back to circumstance. I think this Dallas Cowboys, early in the season, decided to run the ball and run the ball with a heavy dose of DeMarco Murray behind that solid offensive line that's been playing extremely well. And I think, again, circumstantially, that kind of kept Jason Witten from getting the numbers that he would have gotten up to this point. I don't know what his catches are for the season. I don't know what his numbers are for the season thus far. But they're not as compelling as they've been in the past because they've ran the ball a lot more. He's been a big safety net for Tony Romo. But one thing about in the red zone, you cannot forget about Jason Witten when you get inside that 30-yard line because he is a red zone assassin, if you will, at that tight end position.
Typically when you look at tight ends who do well, it's against defenses whose linebacking core or their strong safety really isn't fantastic. I'm really hoping that Jaquan Williams passes whatever concussion protocol or test that he needs to pass in order to play because it'd be Herzlick, McClain,
mm-hmm.
right, and
Kennard.
And Kennard.
Yeah, and let's talk about Herzlick for a second. Mark Herzlick, by a lot of fans have been criticized about his athletic ability and he's not good in pass coverage and all that stuff. But look, this guy probably had his best game of his career last week.
Didn't he have like 15 tackles?
Yeah, like 9 tackles, most of them solos.
It was more than that.
Yeah, he we'll look at the numbers. He also recovered that onside kick, which the Giants haven't done that since 2004. So. Herzlick is playing like a guy who wants to help the team win. And sometimes in football, you can't fault a player for what he's not. Just like you can't fault Eli Manning because he's not mobile or he's not scrambling sideline to sideline throwing the ball downfield. That's just not who he is. But a guy like Herzlick, for example, smart guy. His story, obviously, fighting the cancer and all that stuff. But in terms of just being one of the more blue-collar, consistent contributors, special teams and whenever he does get on, I think Herzog, he played by far his best game that I've seen him play throughout his Giants career.
Let's talk about special teams and the importance of special teams and the role that's going to play on Sunday night. Because obviously nothing better than starting in great field position.
Right.
What do you know about the Dallas Cowboys and what do you anticipate from the Giants as well?
Well, I know the kickoff and punt coverages have been good the last few weeks for the Giants. I haven't looked at Dallas on film yet. I usually do that this afternoon. So this time tomorrow I'll have a better answer in terms of special teams. But they're kind of a middle of the pack in special teams. They don't have an excellent returner. There's not a barn burner back there in terms of a guy who could take it the distance. But it's really up to the coverage units, because this game might be a field position game as well. Again, if the Cowboys are going to run the ball and go that blue collar approach that's worked for them this year, you go back to the last time the Giants, that Monday night game, you can't keep punting the ball backed up in your end zone and giving them the ball in midfield. You've got to move the ball downfield, make them go 80 yards every time, so when they punt, you're getting a shorter field. So these coverage units this week is going to be paramount in terms of contributing to the type of game that this might be.
All right, so again, just a reminder here, listeners are winning cash every week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site, where it's like a new season every time you play. So hurry, get free entry into the $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend, where its first place takes home 10 grand. Head to DraftKings.com now to enter the code BLUE to play for free. DraftKings.com, bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter BLUE for a free entry now. And at DraftKings.com, that's DraftKings, again, DraftKings.com. With that being said, Odell Beckham Jr. has been a fantasy football stud.
Yes, ma'am.
The past few weeks, and which has been quite exciting, especially in points per reception leagues. I can't say enough wonderful things about this guy. I mean, even to the point where I'm always on Twitter, and I like to follow certain conversations on Twitter when it comes to football. And, I mean, he's up there in regard to Rookie of the Year. I mean, and let's look around the league, Roman, really quick in regard to some really outstanding rookie wide receivers that have come in this season. Kelvin Benjamin with Carolina. Brandon Cooks with the New Orleans Saints.
Sammy Watkins.
Sammy Watkins in Buffalo. Mike Evans in Tampa has come on strong. The past 4 weeks has been just a complete beast. And now Josh McCown is back at the helm. And what a great game. By the way, what a great game that's going to be. Lovie Smith and Josh McCown going back to Chicago, to Windy City, to take on the Chicago Bears and Jay Cutler. That's probably one of my favorite games coming up this Sunday. So, you look around the league, and there's some really phenomenal, outstanding rookie wide receivers. And another thing is, that's a tough position to make that leap from college to the pros in regard to learning systems, patterns, chemistry with quarterbacks.
Yep.
The game, as we hear, the game moves so fast, it takes a good 2 or 3 years for it to quote-unquote slow down. And to have such a large number of rookie wide receivers making some noise this season in the NFL is quite impressive. But with all those guys that I just mentioned, where would you rank Odell Beckham Jr. in regard to some of those other guys out there that that have been having an impressive season so far?
Well, I think, Odell Beckham, since that Atlanta game, he's just gotten better every week. And I would really put his last five games against Sammy Watkins, all those guys, his five games. You cannot evaluate him, unfortunately, throughout the course of a season, because he's only had, less than half a dozen games at this point. But what he does is, number one, he's the number one target on the Giants offense right now. He's the deep threat. He's the number one receiver. He is a pure – I always hear this discussion about the labels of what's a number one receiver versus number two. He's the number one receiver. So I look forward to the match, the tandem of Odell Beckham and Victor Cruz next year in the 2015 season. And then, Larry Donnell, because he's a long guy and he's had some turnover issues, a few. The last Dallas game, obviously, he coughed the ball up inside the going in to score. But I can't say enough good things about Odell Beckham in terms of the promise that he shows. Now, compared to all the other rookie receivers, I have to see all the numbers. But in terms of who's maximized his five games more than anybody, it's Odell Beckham in the National Football League, 100%. He's got everyone talking about him and what he can do in the future.
I mean, when the season started, Kelvin Benjamin definitely made, I think, the most noise. Sammy Watkins, when they made the switch from E.J. Manuel to Kyle Orton, then I think he really, you know, he had some monster games. Brandon Cooks, I think because Drew Brees has so many weapons to work with in New Orleans. And so it's kind of, you know, you don't know each week what you get and who's going to be targeted. But when Brandon Cooks is targeted, he's open. They call him the Cookie Monster. he's open, and he definitely delivers. But as of late, the past few weeks, listen, Mike Evans, I think you can make a really good argument for Mike Evans and Odell Beckham Jr. to win Rookie of the Year this year, no doubt.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And I think down the stretch, you know, as Odell Beckham really continues to become really the go-to guy offensively and continues to make more explosive plays, I mean, he can put himself in a position to, you know, have, you know, be really tipping that 600-700 yards receiving by end of the year. I mean, it's not impossible, but in terms of his explosibility, you saw him doing some returns. He's an excellent return person. I mean, he can be the catalyst that really stirs his ship in the return game this year. I mean, the kickoff returns are a lost cause in the NFL now. I mean, you're not going to get a lot of returns in the kickoffs. But in terms of punt returns, back up Dallas, make him three and out. Now punt the ball to Odell Beckham on the 30, 40-yard line, coming out with a lot more real estate in front of him. I think he can make a big return, probably score on that too.
And what's really impressive as well about Odell Beckham Jr. is the fact that, you know, he missed, you know, the first few weeks because he was dealing with a hamstring issue. And it's kind of like he came in, Roman, and there was like immediate chemistry with Eli Manning. And I'm with you. You know, you and I kind of go back and forth on number one and number two. You kind of don't buy into it as much as I do. But yeah, you're right. I mean, when you look at this offense and how it operates, and even when Eli is under duress, I mean, Odell is his go-to guy. Odell is creating the separation with the DBs. Odell is finding that open space and that open area, and Eli's getting the ball to him. It's just, it's very promising, and you're right. I mean, you know, fingers crossed, you pray that Victor makes 100% recovery, and to see those two in this offense next year is going to be pretty spectacular. 201-939-4513. Let's go to California. Let's head out to the left coast. Pat's calling in. Pat, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hi, everybody. How are you doing today?
Hey,
great.
Pat.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm a long, long time Giant fan. Just to introduce myself, my dad went to the greatest game ever played and bought season tickets for next year. So I sat in Yankee Stadium, Yale Bowl, Shea Stadium, Giant Stadium, and the MetLife. So although I moved to California, I still follow these. I still bleed blue out here. So, and there's more that I can't even tell you that I would share with you off the line. I don't think people realize how close these games that we've lost are. Certain situations, if we fell on the ball instead of trying to pick it up, we don't, you know, in the Seattle game, I think, you know, it's still a tie score, and we could come back and win that game. San Francisco, you know, is a really good team having a bad year, and they're you know, if Eli plays better, that's the first game Eli played poorly in a long time. And if he played a little better and didn't, and some of those turnovers didn't go in, and previous years we could all say that the receivers really were causing the turnovers because they read situations, and I could see the point where, you know, Eli takes the blame, but the receivers could have cut the wrong way. Where this time I think Eli really just threw some poor passes, and he'll get over that and he'll play better the next game. Our schedule is going to get a lot easier. And I really think this, we can't give up. We got to keep fighting. And we could go 8-8. And it's really a possibility. One thing that Tom has always done is play man up in your first game of a divisional rivalry. He'll play man up and won't scheme much. And then the second game, when we really need it, he'll scheme more. And I really think we could beat Dallas. I think we could beat Philadelphia. I know we could beat Washington. So, you know, those three games right there, Jacksonville, I think we can win this game. And I think there's a... And Tom has a history of running five off in a row, six off in a row. You never know. So, please, I'm just asking everybody, don't give up. What do you? Can I have your comments on that?
Pat, I appreciate the positive nature of your phone call, and I think fans as a whole should share some of that optimism because the games are close. And that doesn't excuse losing. It doesn't excuse 3-7, but most games in the NFL are won or lost in the fourth quarter. The average margin of victory, I think, is – over time has been like 4 points, and I think sometimes you're one or two plays away at some point in the middle of the game, middle of the third, middle of the fourth quarter. And a lot of times it's injuries. You know, teams that stay healthy obviously play better at the end. The talented teams are healthiest. So in terms of Tom's and the coaching staff's game plan for this game versus the first Cowboys game, I have to sneak in the meeting room and try to see what they're going to do on Sunday for that. But, no, I do appreciate that perspective because that's one side that's never argued as much, like how close these games are.
Pat, you know, I will say this. You know, again, I've covered several teams and for several years here in the NFL, and I've been around teams that have losing records, and the atmosphere here and the positive energy that I feel that we get with the players being here, I think is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have. I mean, obviously, you've got guys that are disappointed that this team has only won three games. Don't get me wrong. It's not like there's a party being thrown here. But with that being said, nobody's walking around moping, hanging their heads. It's all about next game. We've got Dallas. This is Sunday night football. This is prime time. It's the big stage. We can still prove to people that, you know, even if they come in and they beat Dallas, that this Giants team, you know, can win football games. And so it's important you as a Giants fan that you know that, what the atmosphere is like here with at least the players walking around and still having a positive outlook even though they've only won three games.
Right. And the thing that we're doing better at, even in our losses, is third down. I really think that the offense in every game spent a little bit more time on the field, which made our defense a little bit better rested, and they played a little better. And I can see something in that regard, even though the scores doesn't show a victory, there were moral victories there that I think we're going to turn it off. And I really appreciate you taking my call, but that's a really important point that I don't want to take up too much time. But what do you guys feel about how the time of possession is starting to move in our favor, you know, improve at least, and that our offense is starting to move the ball better so the defense can get rest?
Pat, thank you again for your phone call, and really appreciate you tuning in all the way from California.
Yeah, to his point, I remember last week when Frank Gore fumbled on himself, and the Giants recovered the ball, scored, opening possession. First time, I think it would have been like 21 games that they've actually scored opening possession. You know, points off a turnover. I mean, first time in a while. So you saw some of the things to start to improve. You talk about time of possession. You talk about those kind of things. And I think as the running game improves, I'm really looking forward to a better Rashard Jennings. You know, I want to see that week 3 and 4 Rashard Jennings, that Texans game, the Falcons game, you know, the game leading up to those. I'm really looking forward to seeing how that improves the time possession, how that minimizes the long third downs, makes them a lot more manageable. And just the fact that this team is still going to be in attack mode, and that's why they're still working. They're still starting fast. They're still doing, I mean, at least the last few weeks. Games have been more competitive. It's just unfortunately they haven't come up with the W for the Giants fans.
All right, about 4 minutes left in the show before we sign off. Give me what your three keys are going into Sunday's night matchup against the Dallas Cowboys.
I think you got to run the ball. You got to put 100 yards on the ground, 100 yards plus. You have to run the ball. You cannot have any turnovers offensively. And then defensively, you've got to minimize that rushing attack. Make Tony Romo air it out. Make him run and scramble. And he's going to make some plays. But it's got to continue to be that bend but don't break. I think this defense did a great job in terms of forcing the 49ers to field goals instead of touchdowns. But they've got to double duplicate that effort this Sunday. So run the ball 100 yards, no turnovers, and defensively keep the Cowboys out of the end zone. Make them kick field goals.
All right. Well, we want to thank everybody for tuning in to Big Blue Kickoff Live today. Again, Giants are practicing right now. As soon as practice is over, well, actually, as soon as the show's over, Roman and I are going to go grab some grub. And then as soon as practice is over, players will be made available to the media. We'll head into the locker room. We'll get their comments all about, of course, the Dallas Cowboys. Looking forward to Sunday's matchup. And you can see those, of course, on Giants.com. Tomorrow, Big Blue Kickoff Live. I'm out, but Paul Dottino, Polly Dots, he's in with you, right?
Yeah, me and P. Dots are going to be here tomorrow. Hopefully the injury report is a little bit thinner. Hopefully we'll have more perspective in terms of the game plan and more specific questions regarding that as well.
All right. And again, please make sure you follow us all here on Twitter at Giants, hashtag Giants Chat, for any questions or comments. I'm sure anything that we didn't get in, Paul Dottino and Roman can address tomorrow, as well as follow me on Twitter at Anita Marks and Roman at r_Oben. Have a great day, everybody.
Go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down to the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
What a kick off punt. Broken intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.